Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Thank you for spending some time with us today here on The Advertising Show. It's Ray Schillens along with Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. As always, a great show planned for you today. Today is no exception. Rashad Tabakawala is our special guest today. He is a chief executive officer of Dino and chief innovation officer of the Publicist Group Media. that's very interesting, Brad. We have Shamin Abbas joining us here a little bit later on in the show. Shamin is our activist for excellence. Everybody needs one of those, and we've got one. Success is the name of her feature today. Jean Bliss, just a few moments away in this segment, the customer experience out of New York. Call customers who have left you. That's not a bad idea. I mean, and hopefully they'll take your call and you can find out what's going on with the scoop there. So, Brad, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great and have been looking forward to this interview today for a while. As many of our regular listeners know, we had Rashad of Dino booked during the terrible hurricane down in Texas and had to reschedule. And finally, after this many weeks, and you've got your lights burning there, Ray, so we're back on schedule again. So looking forward to today's interview. By the way,
things are back to normal in Houston, yes.
Yeah.
Normal is kind of weird, too.
Rashad mentioned that he was calling from Chicago, and I guess a wonderful evening for him several days ago as his man Barack, I'm saying his man, I don't know who he voted for, but his man Barack, his neighbor, right there with a million plus people, had his post-election speech. I thought it was very well done. In fact, in the interest of equality here, I thought McCain's speech was also very well done as well.
Oh, the concession speech, you mean?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. This is a good election to talk about. This is, at least in my opinion, this wasn't lost by John. It was lost by George. And Paul and Ringo, for that matter, as well. So, yeah. You know what they're saying, too? This is really interesting. This is out of Advertising Age. It says, now that the election is over and Obama is the president-elect, the real fighting can begin. Well, gee, I thought it already happened. But with the Democrats riding to victory with promises of change, it is a safe bet the next Congress and administration will look to make a mark on advertising and marketing issues. Most of the battles won't start until next year, but some of the implications, they say, could become apparent in the coming weeks as Congress reorganizes and the new administration names its leadership, which they did at least earlier this week. Washington Advertising and Marketing Association officials suggest that the election's focus on the economy and healthcare could mean many marketing issues would take a back seat, but it doesn't ease their worries. What they're suggesting, one of the biggest concerns here, a major debate about healthcare could prompt discussion of limiting direct-to-consumer drug ads and perhaps of ad taxes. Wouldn't that be an interesting twist?
Here we go again.
Be something to get used to. They basically said, according to Dick O'Brien, who's VP of the American Association of Advertising Agencies, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Keep your hands and arms inside. I made that part up. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. You know, a lot of celebrating and everything like that, but still a lot at a time that we are in an incredibly horrendous situation as a country in many aspects. He's got a big task. I'm not sure if I were elected president that I would want to take on what he has to take on. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I look at this kind of like a great NFL football coach. They want to take a team that's down and bring it back. And I think most politicians aspire to do the same. I don't know that, you know, truthfully, when you think about it, somebody that's going to go through all of what both candidates went through this year to become Barack, become elected. You know, they want to make their mark and leave their legacy. And I think he's got huge challenges ahead of him. But I think, you know, like I said, I think good political leaders want to lead and want to turn things around, and it's better to do that than to take a country in prosperity and just keep it going. I think there's more to risk at keeping things, you know, going as opposed to turning things around, don't you think?
When has that never been the case, though, as you change your transition every 4 years?
That's true.
Right?
It's like a new CMO.
Yeah, How about that? He's our CMO now. Actually, he's going to offer that to McCain, I guess. I'm not sure. Gene Bliss, the customer experience. Call customers who have left you. Where'd you go? Why'd you leave? Well, give him a call.
Welcome to the customer experience. Making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Call some customers who have left you. This is the time when acts of heroism for consumers and business accounts alike will not go unnoticed. So reach into your customer database and identify some customers who have left you, then reach out to them. But before you do, build some creative financing and pricing options for them. When you call, first apologize, then listen, asking why a customer left and then really listening and repeating back the reason is extremely powerful. Yet few do this. Finally, ask to be given another chance and then offer your pricing options. Even if they don't bite right away, this type of gesture sticks with customers. One financial services company ultimately got back 35% of customers who had departed. Just the shock value that you realized that they were gone and cared enough to ask what happened will set you apart from the rest.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thank you, Gene Bliss. On the advertising show is Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Rashad Tabakawala about to join us out of Chicago here on the advertising show. What do you have there, Brad?
You know, NBC Local is planning to relaunch station websites. I thought it was an outstanding idea, market departure from the common practice of TV station websites serving as adjuncts for their on-air products of networks. NBC Local Media is launching its station websites to closely resemble its local community, which I think is an idea that's, you know,
hey, what a concept, being local.
Yeah, it's needed more today in both programming and website. I could tell more about it, but let's give you a chance to talk a little bit about our guest.
Rashad,
today.
Yeah, he is the CEO of Deno, a futures think do company that helps its clients get to the future first in ways that make tomorrow tangible today. Deno combines strategy, research, ideas, program management, and ventures to help clients as varied as Hewlett-Packard, Kellogg's, and DuPont, and also works with startups like Bright Cove and Sling Media. Rashad simultaneously serves as the chief innovation officer of Publicis Group Media, PGM, formed in 2004. It's a management board that oversees two major media networks, Starcom MediaVest Group and Zenith OptiMedia, with together allocate about $45 billion in global media spending. And, of course, the chief, he's the CEO of Deno, which we'll find out more about that, too, as well here on the advertising show. So we look forward to the interview, and it's just a good reason to spend a little bit more time here with us at theadvertisingshow.com, being powered by Shipple and a program called Tendency. It's a killer marketing thing. Check it out. It's schipul.com. Back in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs.
The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth and a very special guest this weekend, Rashad Tabakawala, CEO of Deneau, and the Chief Innovation Officer of Publicis Group Media. Rashad, welcome to The Advertising Show. So good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Rashad, let's give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about Deneau and your skills as well as your responsibilities there. Start off with as CEO of Deneau, sharing with our listeners a little bit of you, Rashad, what a typical day is like for you.
What's particularly exciting about Deneau, which is a Latin word for a fresh and a new, which basically is built on our basic belief that the best ideas come with a fresh sheet of paper, is that every day for us is a new day with a fresh sheet of paper. We do different things for different clients. Our clients include people like Hewlett Packard, as well as folks like General Motors and several others. For some of our clients, we help them sort of frame the future, and we serve as a futures group and sort of as a consigliere that helps them guide through all the opportunities and risks that the digital and changing consumers bring. For other clients, we provide particular services in new forms of engagement, whether it be social media or gaming or in some cases different ways to manipulate creative so that people actually find it engaging versus find it, you know, thrust upon them. So it's a series of different things that we do in any particular day, but all of them really is to try to help our clients get to the future first and embrace change rather than run from it.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You develop digital strategy for existing clients that are for clients that may have already an interest in digital strategy, as well as creating new strategy. Strategy for new media, I should say, or alternative media, as best I can tell from what you just said. What do you think of the election as you look back on both candidates? And would you say that Obama far and above out-strategized McCain when it comes to leveraging new media?
Absolutely. In fact, I believe he out-strategized McCain in every form of marketing and media. And people have sort of emphasized his new media usage in the fact that he used the internet both to raise money as well as connect with people. But what people also have sort of overlooked is, A, he found a positioning that was relevant for the times, which was change, and he stuck to it. What's particularly interesting, whether it was Hillary Clinton or whether it was McCain, they either changed their strategies or found strategies that were absolutely irrelevant with the times. Like, for instance, country first. In a world where the world is completely interconnected, as you can see with the financial meltdown, country first basically also makes the 95% of the world that lives outside the United States and hates it right now, or till the day before yesterday, is completely silly. So the idea is your positioning has to be correct, consistent, and relevant with the times, which he did. The other, which people I don't believe recognize, is he used traditional media much better than anybody else did. A, he outspent everybody, but he also ran different types of commercials in different types of markets, both positive as well as negative. So he had every game. He had the air war of traditional media. He had the ground war that came from the internet. And he basically had the overall strategy of a positioning.
Yeah, I thought the roadblock on the infomercials leading up to the election was a brilliant strategy, and certainly he had the money to do so. Let's shift gears for a moment. Here we sit in Q4 '08, wrapping up the year. What's been the big trend, Rashad, so far this year for media planning and strategy at Danu?
There are a couple of different things. A is, you know, clients are very, very interested in social media brought about by sort of interest in tactics rather than the strategy, but interest in tactics of what should they do with a Facebook or a MySpace. And one of the things we try to explain to them is that social media is far broader, has been around for a lot of time, and often the best way to do social media has got nothing to do with advertising but improving your product and consumer service. But there's clearly that whole area. There is a huge area of interest in search, both because of the fame and magnificence of Google, but also its measurability and effectiveness of search. And the third thing, which is increasingly an issue, is how do we engage in what are new types of messages that will sort of supplement the 30-second commercial and the page ad? What is a scalable form of engaging messages? Those were the three things sort of running into about 2 months ago. Since then, in the past 6 to 8 weeks, I think the great emphasis has been on efficiency and what do they actually have to do, how can they save money given the current financial environment. So there was a much more optimistic, much more digital, and somewhat experimental phase that lasted till about August or September. And since then, it has basically been, what do we need to do, and let's just do what we absolutely have to do, which is one of the reasons why you're basically seeing a sort of bringing down of estimates of how fast digital will grow next year.
Our special guest here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, Rashad Tabakawala, who is CEO of Danu and Chief Innovation Officer of Publicis Group's media as well, here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth of the Advertising Show. Out of Chicago, Rashad is, and we've got a couple of more segments to spend with him. We hope you're enjoying the show, and I'd love to have you stick around. Stay right here.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You're like no other babe ever born.
You're fabulous, babe.
You know how to reach out and show your love, babe.
You're fabulous, babe.
It's the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, back with Rashad Tabakawala, CEO of Danu. Rashad, it is so good to have you here. Thanks for spending time with us.
It's a pleasure.
Now, let's go back to something you mentioned last segment. You mentioned that your clients are interested in engaging in new types of messaging. Give us some examples of what you're talking about there, Rashad.
I'll give you a couple of examples. The first is something that we've recently completed for Nestle Purina, who is the leading pet food company in America. And one of the key things that we sort of discovered is usually a lot of people think in the digital world, if you want to sort of relate on pets, the thing you do is you set up a bunch of websites, and then you stop there and you do some advertising that drives traffic to websites. But increasingly in a distributed world, fewer and fewer people go to manufacturer or brand websites. And you could sort of see that in the numbers. And on the other hand, they did go to places like YouTube and Flickr and a whole bunch of other places to get entertaining cat and dog, you know, pictures, video, etc. So we basically worked with them, and we worked with several partners like a Flickr, like a Daylife, like a YouTube, and put together something called PetCharts.com, which is Pet Charts, which is seen at PetCharts.com, where we actually pull from these places the top 10 cat pictures, dog videos, cat stories, dog stories, and people can, you know, it's sort of a dig-like thing, vote stuff up and down. And every day you have this wonderful place where people can get amazing entertainment about cats and dogs brought to you from Nestle, Purina. And here is a way that you actually use crowdsourcing and curate crowdsourcing, so you add value in that versus, you know, developing static websites that nobody comes to.
So now, are you? Does it remain at PetShots.com, or do you transfer
basically
that?
It a place where you can find it is at PetShots.com, but you know, speaking to our model, that people are less likely to go to a place and rather you distribute stuff. In addition to that, you know, we have search engine widgets and a lot of other things that their sister companies or other companies that help them do to distribute Pet Charts, both as a widget, put it them on their other sites, you know, use search engine to find it, etc. So,
right.
But it also exists at PetCharts.com.
Yeah, and would we see any of the video on YouTube?
Yes, you would basically, because those would be curated. So it's, you know, the idea basically is you aggregate, you curate, and you bring it all together. And so to a great extent, the consumer or the person has a place to get the best of the web quickly, and you also do it in such a way that you don't have, you know, videos or pictures that are offensive to someone and therefore hurt the brand.
And do consumers know when they go to PetShots.com that it's a Nestle Purina sponsored site?
They know it right at the very top that that's been brought to the, this has been brought to them by Purina, but outside of that, everything else is basically from the web.
Yeah, I think you tell me, but I think a lot of companies tend to get a little too over the top when they do what you just described, and they, instead of having something just as simple as a sponsorship ID as you described it, they tend to want to take advantage, I would call it, of traffic and hit them over the head with commercial messaging or product messaging, and it ends up turning off a lot of traffic. I think it's a brilliant idea and a great example of how to give something back to, or really to bring consumers to a site that gets them involved in CGC, consumer-generated content, and gets them some alignment with the brand and some good feeling about the brand, wouldn't you say, Rashad?
Exactly, absolutely. And it's also very cost-effective because you don't have to go and develop content all the time when the best content's already been developed.
Your consumers are generating the content for you. So with a lot of being talked about today of innovative ways of going about developing research and understanding how customers think. Danu, how are you guys doing it? You have some innovation there?
On how people think?
No, just consumer research. Well, yeah, in effect, that's where the end result is.
Yeah,
we do
a lot of stuff to, keep on top of things. So one of the things is we have a tool which we call Reflector, where we have found a way to sort of, again, get the wisdom of the crowds in trying to keep us on top of digital culture, because clients are very concerned that they may lose track of what's going on in the digital culture, and they sometimes get inundated with too much. So we actually now have found ways to give them a two-page report once every 2 weeks, which is about a 15-minute read, which not even that, maybe a 10-minute read, which allows our clients to basically say, aha, here's what's going on and here's what's I should be on top of. So, for instance, in a recent issue, you know, we covered things like 537.com and Pollster.com, which are the ultimate sites to figure out, you know, who was going to win or not win this election that just passed. And in fact, for those who looked at Pollster in 537, they actually had predicted the final electoral vote down to about 10 votes away, both of them, state by state.
This is the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and our special guest out of Chicago this weekend, Rashad Tabakawala, who is CEO of Danu and also Chief Innovation Officer at Publicis Group in Media. We will be back with more in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Burgess is a darn good battery.
In my hand, I have a Burgess battery, the darn good battery, and that other battery. Now, tell me what I am
back
doing.
Back for our third segment here on The Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and out of Chicago. Our special guest this weekend, Rashad Tabakawala, who is CEO of Danu. Rashad, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, Rashad, I wanted to get your thoughts on mobile. A lot of brands today are pursuing new platforms. I'm sure Danu, you guys incorporate mobile as part of your new media mix for clients, depending on your objectives. What's new with mobile at Danu and your clients?
You know, to a great extent, about 6 months ago, we were very cautious about mobile. It's really after sort of the iPhone in the United States, and now with Android, you begin to actually have a platform with which you can do some engaging forms of marketing. But there are two things increasingly. More and more, we wonder whether this is really mobile or whether this happens to be just a compact internet device, right? And it's much less of a phone, much less of SMS, but it's just, you know, a compact internet device that people happen to, watch things on the internet or play with applications. The second, to a great extent, is which we keep reminding clients, is because of the phone or this mobile internet device being a very personal item, what one has to provide there happens to be service rather than advertising, which is what service can you provide someone? Because if you don't provide them a service, you know, on this particular device, berating them with advertising or some form of overt marketing will turn them off. And so to a great extent, the drama about mobile and everyone talking about it relative to how marketers are using it is a long, long way. You know, I would basically say that marketers are probably throughout the United States, across everything, probably spending less than $50 million in mobile.
Yeah, I think a great example of how you say to effectively use it is getting sports scores and requesting sports scores, for example, for those that are wanting to get late-breaking sports scores or news information, et cetera, and then allow that to be subsidized, I guess, through a sponsor. But you mentioned U.S. consumers. Are there other countries worldwide where mobile is far advanced and much more effectively used by
marketers? Yes, I mean, there's a lot of interesting use of mobile in places like Japan, Korea, China, and Scandinavia, among others. Often, like for instance, like, you know, even if you look at things like India, while they've got lots of penetration, lots of people use them, very few people use them, you know, for anything besides sort of just remaining connected or like reading, like, you know, comics on trains and things like that. That's what they do in Japan, right? And little phone, phone novels.
Sure.
The sense, basically, to a great extent, is most of these people, you know, when there is some marketing done, it happens to be an expansion of a model. So, for instance, if, you know, Coca-Cola is basically running a contest, they will also make the contest available on the phone. Or you can, like, you know, speak back. But, you know, there's nothing dramatic in mobile marketing that is a long-term leverageable idea that you've really seen. And so I think to a certain extent, mobile, while being very prevalent, hasn't yet become a very effective ongoing marketing platform. That will change, yeah. But right now it isn't that.
And it'll change because of the device or because of more innovative?
Because of the device, because it's already got 2 billion people using it, you know, the 2 billion mobile phone users. But till you had something like the iPhone and now the Android, these devices were basically for SMS, maybe some MMS, and phone.
Yeah. You know, Rashad, obviously the work you're doing is an important aspect of marketing and advertising. As we see it here in the future, doing some great work there. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your weekend to join us, and continued success with Denuo. And, you know, I don't have a website. Oh, yes, I do. It's denuo.com. And we invite our listeners to go check it out.
denuogroup.com. So Denuo Group.
Oh, it is Group? Okay.
Yes.
Very good. My apologies. I have the wrong one here. But anyway, thanks again for being with us, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You're most welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
On The Advertising Show, it's Ray Schoens and Brad Forsyth back with more in just a moment.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas, and this is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a PR campaign to include people who couldn't make it to the G8 rally, they got 53,000 people to join a virtual protest and a campaign that won 2 international creative awards. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put us to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. What have you got to lose? The future starts here.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schoens and Brad Forsyth.
I love Bosco. It's rich in chocolate tea. Chocolate flavored Bosco is mighty good.
Ray Schoens and Brad Forsyth here at The Advertising Show. Did you enjoy the interview today with Rashad? Hope you did. Interesting company, Denuo. Denuo Group, I believe he said, .com is their website. Next week, we've got an author of a book called The Age Curve. It's Ken Groenbach, or Bach. How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. So that's next week on The Advertising Show. Still to come a little bit later this segment, we've got Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence. Today it's a very simple topic and something that we all long for. It's called success. So we'll find out more about that in just a few moments here. Out of the Wall Street Journal, this is an interesting article about how marketers are kind of changing the story of telling the story of their products. One in particular is General Mills, Pillsbury. They basically say some marketers are even reviving an old advertising to remind consumers of happier times. General Mills launched the brand campaign. It was called dubbed Home is Calling. The campaign includes television, print, online, and other ads. They feature a variety of characters, a businessman, a young boy in a library, and a woman at a train station who click their heels, envisioning a way to get home and eat with their friends and loved ones. The economy is so frightening, according to a spokesperson for Pillsbury. The campaign is an opportunity for us to represent hope in a time when people are feeling scared. To be able to connect to values like safety, security, warmth, and love at home really resonates. Makes a lot of sense, too. So if you've got a product, well, like a Pillsbury, or, you know, something as it relates to lifestyles or consumer goods, whatever, you might want to think about something like that. If Pillsbury's doing it, can't be such a bad deal, right?
So curious, the girl standing in front of the train station that clicked her heels, did she have a little dog with her named Toto?
Right.
And was she going to Kansas?
Kansas would be a good place to go at this particular point in time.
Well, they have lower prices. Cheaper gas.
It's also cold there.
Nobody lives there, so home prices are lower.
No, actually, a lot of people live in Kansas.
They do?
Yeah, they do. I've heard that. I've never been there, but I've heard that there are people there. It's a good thing. Shamin have a success, probably even in Kansas. Yeah, for sure.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Let's talk about how to measure success. How do you measure the success of a PR campaign? Well, the simple answer is an increase in the sales of your client's product or service. But is there more to it? Our own data indicates that while some of our outreach absolutely creates immediate sales, some of our efforts tend to have a longer response time. One of our industry metrics is favorability, which is not a concept with a clear and trackable definition. Some fixed models measure success by gauging its client's reputation against all others. But can you really compare the reputation of a new chain of luxury doggy hotels with that of an electronics outlet or a liquor company? Others use metrics for evaluating media impressions on print, TV, and the internet. And some of our bigger brethren use focus groups and polling. Whatever the measure, it's important to assess a client's communication goals up front, then decide which metrics are best to track those goals. Sometimes the target audience, as defined by your client, is only a portion of the potential audience. For example, tracking and targeting online audiences based on their browsing behavior rather than their traditional socioeconomic grouping presents new audiences. It has been noted in the PR industry's trade magazine, PR Week, that surveys and statistical analysis are taking over from the traditional measurement of clip counts. For a client with the resources to conduct these measures, they are able to use these metrics to influence communication strategies, even midstream, whilst providing success benchmarks. If you find that your product, which you thought was primarily targeted to 20-somethings, is getting attention from women in their mid-30s, you can shift your outreach and speak directly to this new audience. For the smaller clients, the measurement of success remains clip counts. And whether we've given the media enough interesting and compelling information that even if we don't generate coverage immediately, we've created a persona for our clients that will result in the media calling us when they need an expert or they're doing a larger story in which our client can be included. Another metric is direct response to grassroots events. Again, when you're working with smaller clients, the metrics of success are smaller. Pictures in society columns, principals' profiles in the business section, how many people have attended an event. It's all about remaining accountable, regardless of the client's size, and remembering that we are there to generate revenue.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks to Shamin here on the Advertising Show. Always good stuff, including the earlier one that we had as well, Gene Bliss, Customer Experience, too, with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. What do you have there, Brad?
Well, you know, would you think that P&G intended to have pre-roll ads for its Tide, CoverGirl, and Herbal Essence brands to run just prior to a recent video clip showing Playboy playmate Kendra Wilkinson flashing a breast on TMZ.com? Do you think that was on purpose?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, apparently, you know, not only are they guilty of this, but there are other companies like American Express that deliberately ran a banner ad within clicking distance of nude photos of a High School Musical star, Vanessa Hudgens. Apparently, digital buyers report that across several categories, particularly products that target younger consumers, brands have come to terms with whatever reservations they may have had about content on these types of sites. They simply cannot ignore the passionate following the sites have built. So I think the attitude has been, or now is, to hell with the association of lewd content. We want the young consumers wherever the hell they are. So, you know, I don't know about
on purpose,
you.
Purpose, yeah. Maybe so.
Although
maybe
it probably could be argued that, you know, the only people that are seeing that are the ones that are going to that site to begin with. But, you know, that's brand integrity you got to be concerned about.
You would think that would be really smart to think about. Speaking of brand integrity, the Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Well, next week, another great show. Tell your friends about the Advertising Show, which is a Big Radio Midgets production.